I'm going to have you turn in your Bibles in just a minute and keep them open because this is a topical sermon. In other words, we're going to deal with a topic that shows up in several places in your Bible. And so in order to see it, you have to be able to turn from place to place. And the first place I'll have you turn is Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, I'll look at verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. The Bible says about our God that He is the faithful God. God is absolutely faithful to His words. Everything He recorded in these words has either come to pass or will come to pass exactly the way that He said. When He set the sun as an ordinance of the daytime, the movement of that sun is so faithful and so reliable that for years to come, they can already tell you the very minute that it will rise. And the moon is an ordinance for the night, and they can tell you for years to come when it will rise, and when it does rise, what stage it will be in for years to come. And the reason that those ordinances are as faithful as they are is because of the God that created them. He's a faithful God. You can count on Him absolutely to do exactly what He said He would do and to do exactly what you know He would do. And because He is a faithful God, the faithful God, the Bible says, then the one characteristic that He expects from us and literally looks for in us and demands from us is faithfulness. Because He is faithful, He looks for, expects, literally demands faithfulness. And we're going to talk about that today. Faithfulness. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask You please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us. What You're going to give us from the words of God today, Father, very, very profitable. If several things. One, if You'll fill me with Your Holy Spirit so that this messenger can be out of the way and Your Holy Spirit can use the vessel to simply accomplish what You want to do here today. That'd be profitable. Of course, Your words are profitable, so if they can be preached in such a way, Father, that they are magnified, they are expounded, they are spoken, that'll be profitable. Father, if You do this to Your glory and to Your honor, that would be profitable. And if You would use these words to edify Your saints, that would be profitable. Likewise, as was prayed during the offertory prayer, if somebody's here without Jesus Christ and You'd use these words to bring them to Jesus Christ, that would be profitable. So many good things can happen here today, Father. As we yield to You, we bow before You, we recognize that You are the great power, You are the faithful God to accomplish these things, and so we look to You now to accomplish these as only You can do for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. So we read in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, that this outstanding characteristic of God is that He is faithful. The faithful God, the Bible says. And you know then what He expects of us? He expects faithfulness. Turn to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. And look at verse 20. Oftentimes in Proverbs, you will hear something that is gender specific. When Solomon in Proverbs 31 writes about a virtuous woman, he's not talking about men there. He's talking about women, and he goes through that explanation. Sometimes he's talking about a man, and he's very specifically talking about a man, perhaps in the office of a bishop, for instance. But other times he may use the word man, and he's not being gender specific. Here in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20, he said, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." That's true of a man or a woman. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. I don't know about you, but if God has blessings and He wants those blessings to abound to one of us or some of us, then I don't mind getting in on that. And in order to abound with blessings, He said, you need to be faithful. You need to be faithful. And that faithfulness is based upon the faithfulness of our God. And so we really want to talk about that, because you know what would be a great delight as a pastor? A great delight as a pastor would be to preach to a group of people who, because of their faithfulness, abound with blessings. That would be a tremendous accomplishment and a tremendous fulfillment in the ministry. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, and let's look at something. In Matthew chapter 25, we are dealing with the parable of the talents. And I recognize immediately that the parable of the talents is a predominantly Jewish parable. The parable for us is the parable of the pounds in Luke chapter 19. Nevertheless, when we look at the parable of the talents, we can learn something about faithfulness, and that's why we want to look at this. Because if we're going to deal with being faithful, we have to understand something about how God makes that determination in our lives so that we can understand how to have that determination in our lives. Matthew chapter 25, look at verse 14. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Whose goods are they? They belong to the man. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. You know, we use that word several. And we say, yeah, there were several people that showed up. And the way we use it, we say that to mean a few, but not many. But when you think about the word several, you also remember that the root of that word is the word sever. And so when you talk about the several ability, he's talking about the ability of these servants, these few servants, but the fact that one has a different ability than another does, because their several ability is that ability of each one of those that are in that group. All right, one obviously had more ability to do what this man wanted to do, so he entrusted him with more. He gave him 5 talents. Another he gave 2. Another he gave 1. He expected all of them to be able to do something with the talents that he gave them, but he certainly expected more from the one to whom he gave more. Okay? Verse 16, that he had received the 5 talents, went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. All right, now at this point, the 5 that made 5 and the 2 that made 2 and the 1 that's still in the earth, whose are they? Who do they belong to? They still belong to the man. His Lord's money, they still belong to the man. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, in verse 19, reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good, and help me now, what are the next 2 words? Faithful servant. We're talking about faithfulness. Thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. All right, before we read what the Lord says to him, how is what he did, gaining 2 talents, similar to what the other man did in gaining 5 talents? They both doubled what they were given. They both doubled what they were given. So if this one man had more ability and he was given 5 talents, and this man had less ability and he was given 2 talents, but they both doubled what they were given, then you know what? They both have accomplished equally, right? And therefore, what he gives the second servant is the same thing that he gives to the first servant. Look what he says. His Lord said unto him in verse 23, well done, good, and what did he call him? Faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And except for one word, the word thou in verse 21, Those are identical judgments. Those are identical judgments. And what did he say? I will make thee ruler over many things. Now let's just keep reading, really, just to learn something about those talents after this thing was done. Now the one that had received the one talent, verse 24, came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an ardent man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money with the exchangers, and that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Whose is it? Mine own with usury. You know what this guy could have done? If he had traded with that and made one talent, he'd have gotten the same thing the other guys got. The Lord expected less from him, but he expected double. And it didn't get double. He didn't get anything but the one that he'd given him, because the guy didn't do anything with it. He just stuck it in the earth. Now look at verse 28, because this is important. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Whose talents are they now? Are they the Lord's? No. The guy that made the extra 5 got to keep all 10 of them. Plus, from the wicked and slothful servant, he got another one, a 10% bonus. And the other guy that had one had none. What was the purpose of this exercise? Was the purpose of this exercise for the man that had the talents to double what he owned in the time that he was traveling? Was that the purpose of this exercise? If it was, he would have kept all of the talents. That wasn't the purpose of the exercise. What was the purpose of the exercise? The purpose of the exercise was to determine the faithfulness of his servants. And once he was able to determine which servants were faithful because of what they did with what he gave them, look what he says again in verse 21 and what he says again in verse 23, I will make thee ruler over many things. I will make thee ruler over many things. This parable is about faithfulness. This parable can be applied to us, though we're not Jews and we're not dealing with talents. We can be applied to us in this sense. God has entrusted you as a saved person with something that He wants you to do for Him with what He's given you. And based on what you do with it is going to determine what kind of rule you will have with Him in His millennial reign. Randy did a great job in the men's Bible study last Monday night dealing with the priests. We are priests of the Lord in the millennial reign, and so he went through and dealt a whole lot with what priests do and how we can be priests of the Lord now. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That verse says in Revelation, we are kings and priests. The kings, you know what kings do? They rule. And your rule has everything in the world to do with your faithfulness now. You say, well, yeah, but he hasn't given me very much to do. Turn to Luke chapter 16 and look at verse 10. He didn't give those men very much to do. Matter of fact, he didn't give them anything to do beyond their ability. He didn't give the man that had the ability to make 2 talents. He didn't give him 5. He just gave him 2. He didn't give that man who could make 1 talent any more than 1 talent. But he expected him to be able to do something with it. Luke chapter 16, look at verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is, what's the next word? Least. Is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust in also in that, in much. That's very important right there. Because faithfulness is not determined by the level of your responsibility. Faithfulness is determined by the level of your character. If you're a faithful person and you're faithful in least, you'll be faithful in much. And if you're an unjust person, even though you don't have much, you'll be unjust when a lot comes. People say, I can't believe. Did you read about that case where that man embezzled several $1 million from that company? Can you believe he did that? Yeah, I can. I bet he stole a penny from his mother's wallet when he was a kid. You see, because in the little things he was unjust, and it only magnifies and gets worse with the increase of responsibility. And likewise, if he's a faithful man, it doesn't make any difference if you give him a menial task. He will do that with all of his faithfulness, and you lay more on him. You know you can count on him because you could count on him with the little things. That's what the Lord does. So here you are saved, and you say, well, there doesn't seem to be any great thing that the Lord wants me to do. You're absolutely right. He doesn't want you to do a great thing yet. He just wants you to do a little something. See how you do with that. He's checking faithfulness. You say, well, yeah, but if you'd let, well, I'm telling you, man, if you'd let me be pastor of the church, you'd see me here every time the doors are open. You get it? Yeah, they say to you, they say about me, you're here all the time because you're the pastor. You know what? I used to be there all the time when I wasn't the pastor. I suppose that's how the Lord figured he could count on me to be here when I was the pastor. It goes like that. It goes like that. And let me tell you something. God keeps track of these things. As a matter of fact, He expects us to keep track of those things. When these men came in and accounted, they said, you're five, gain five. Do you know what you're doing with your faithfulness? Do you know what you're doing with that which the Lord entrusted to you? Let's look at some areas. This is kind of the introduction. I'll do one of those, Tony. This is the introduction. Okay? God is faithful. You're supposed to be faithful. But I didn't burn nearly as much time as He does in introductions. Let's get down to some things that we can be faithful in, should be faithful in. You ready? You understand where we are. You understand what God's looking for. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verse 2. Verse 1, for the context, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. There are seven mysteries of God in the Bible. And we, as ministers, are to be stewards of those mysteries. The mystery of iniquity, the mystery of godliness, the mystery of the body of Christ, you know, the mystery of the rapture, those kind of things. All right? But look what he says in verse 2. Moreover, it is, what's the next word? Required. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. What is a steward? A steward is somebody to whom something is entrusted for the care of the person who entrusted it to him. Okay? So if somebody said, here, I've got $5 and I'm getting ready to go swimming, would you hold on to this for me? And then you go swimming in the beach and you come back over there and you say, can I have my $5? He said, well, yeah, but man, the hamburger guy came by. Well, then you weren't a faithful steward. You spent the guy's money. No, he wants to be able, he's entrusted you with the $5. He expects to be able to get his $5 back when he comes out of the water, okay? So there is a stewardship. You and I, listen, you and I are stewards of some things. We are in possession of some things that God has entrusted to us, and we have a stewardship over those things. And verse 2 says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Again, it's not gender specific. We have to be faithful with that stuff that is God's, that is entrusted to our care. All right, you have something of God's that is entrusted to your care. And I'm looking at the first thing. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You're in 4. Go to the two more chapters. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Watch it, and you're not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. How many of you in here today are saved and you absolutely know it beyond the shadow of a doubt? All right? Put your hands back down. Who owns your body? Who owns your body? God. Yeah. Because you think I'm going somewhere you're not going to like. Okay, I won't go there. Who owns your body? Who owns my body? God. This is not mine. I am bought with a price, and I'm to glorify God in my body. All right. And therefore, I am a steward of God's possession. This doesn't belong to me. Do you realize then, and Paul told us a lot about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, that as a minister, as a preacher, I have to keep this body in subjection so that God can do in this body what He desires to do anytime He desires to do something with me as a pastor? You say, boy, that's pretty tough. It is, but that's what He expects. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Here's the question for you. Are you faithful? Are you taking care of God's possession? Are you faithful to have that body where God wants that body to be and that spirit to be where God wants that spirit to be every time that God is looking for where your body is? He's in you. And He says, I have something that I want my spirit in you to hear. You need to be in such and such a place at such and such a time. And you say, oh no, man. This is my time. I work hard. This is my time. This is what I do at this time. Who made that decision? The steward or the owner? The steward. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much. But he's an unjust in that which is least is unjust in much. You say, man, I sure wish I could do more for God. Once you do the little thing for God. We tell people, we open these doors and come with a message for you from the Lord, and you're not here to receive it. How's that any good for you? How's that going to help you? And why did you not get it? Because the steward of God's possession didn't keep the body in subjection to hear those things. Sure, it's good. Sure, it's good. You know, I remember when I was growing up, I heard a lot of preaching on church attendance, so I don't preach on church attendance for the sake of that because I'm not interested in how many people come. I'm interested in faithful people being here to get something from God, take with them and do with it what God wanted them to do. But when I look around and I see people who are doing things for God in a big way today, you know what I noticed about them from the very beginning? They were here, and they were in their place to hear what God had for them so He could check their faithfulness before He gave them something else to do. Mark my words, it's so. There's another thing that you have in your possession that's not yours, that belongs to God. And I could see it if I could find it. I'm talking about this. You know what's in this wallet? Not now. It's in the basket. You know what was in this wallet? My tithe. What does Leviticus chapter 27 tell you the tithe is? The tithe is what? The tithe is the Lord's. What does that mean? That means it's not yours. Isn't that right? Your body's not yours, and neither is the tithe. It's not yours. So when you receive something, when you receive money, and you use some of God's money, the steward is stealing from the owner. There's no other way to look at it. You say, I don't like the way this message is going. You wouldn't have any problem with it at all if you were doing it. You'd be going, amen. Amen. You say, I just wish God would bless me more financially. If He's unjust in that which is least, He's unjust in that which is great. He can't entrust you with more. Because you're not trustworthy. You're not a faithful steward. That tithe is not yours. It's God's. When I learned that, I went back and I thought about all those times that I didn't tithe. I know you're going to think I'm crazy. And I made up for it. Why? Because I didn't want to be holding on to any possession that I acquired with something that didn't belong to me. I might as well go on to my neighbor's house and stolen some money out of his tin can he had buried in the backyard and use that to buy something and claim that it was my possession. It's the same thing. That belongs to God, not to us. He'll just check you out. He'll just see how you do with the possessions that He's given you, that are His, that He entrusted to your care, your body, your tithe, His tithe. Just see what you do with it. And if you ever want to do more for God than you're doing, because you enjoy doing things for the God that did everything He possibly could to save your soul, get it right in these two areas and the rest of that stuff will start to fall in place. See, can we get on to another topic now? Yeah, we'll let the submarine surface and we'll get some fresh air. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20, excuse me, turn to Proverbs chapter 27:6. Not only do you want to be a faithful steward, Proverbs chapter 27, look at verse 6, you want to be a faithful friend. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know, the funny thing is, being in the pastorate, a lot of times it's very common for pastors to say to the folks, I love you, but I learned something. When you really do, you're not afraid to tell them exactly what they need to hear. Without apology. Why? Because the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a what? A friend. A person who doesn't love you won't tell you what you need to hear, even though it hurts. If you go to a surgeon and you need surgery, he's not much of a surgeon if he won't hurt you to remedy the problem. He doesn't hurt you because he wants to hurt you. He hurts you so that you can get better. Likewise, some of the things that come from preaching hurt. And some of the things that we get from our friends are wounds. But they make us better. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, look at verse 24. Proverbs 18, verse 24, the Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Watch it, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You want to be a faithful steward, and you want to be a faithful friend. Listen, friends are hard to come by. I'm not talking about acquaintances and people that know you, that you just pal around. I'm talking about the real, fast, going to be there for you under every circumstance of life friend. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine one day, and he asked me a question about something that he was thinking about doing. And when I replied to him, I was cocky, which is, it comes naturally. And I called him by the name of another preacher to emphasize that what I thought he was doing was a bad idea. And then as we were together, and then I got in the car and was driving away, and about halfway coming back to Corpus Christi, I thought about that, and I said, man, I should have never said that. So I called my pastor friend, and I said, listen, I'm sorry that I said it to you that way. He goes, I said, because you're way more of a friend than that. And he said, listen, I can't think of anything you could do that would affect my friendship for you. I'm your friend. Man, I'll tell you what, it is good to have friends like that. It is good to have friends like that. I want to ask you something. Are you a faithful friend or are you a fair weather friend? When I was talking to the young adults the other day, I said, do you know what a fair weather friend is? And they said, no. So I'll explain it to you in case you don't know. A fair weather friend is your friend when the sun is shining and the seas are calm. But boy, you let the storms come and the clouds come and the waves get rocky and they are nowhere to be found. Why? They don't want any of your trouble. And what you're looking for is the kind of friend that is there that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, have you ever seen two brothers fighting with each other? And then a third person who happens to just be a friend and acquaintance of the family comes in and says, yeah, old Tom, you're right, man. He's a low down, no good. And all of a sudden the brother who's been running his brother down turns and both of them looking at you. And you realize you just treaded into some water you had no business getting into. Why? Because that blood is thick. And what the Lord's saying here is he wants you to be a friend that's so much of a friend that you're even closer than those friendships of siblings. That's the kind of friend you want to be. Faithful friend. That's the kind of friend Jesus Christ is to us. Faithful friend. And then look here in Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2. Hosea's one of those prophets, you know. So you got Ezekiel, then you got Daniel, then you got Hosea. Hosea chapter 2. And in Hosea's case, the problem with Hosea is he had to go through some things personally as a testimony to what God was doing with Israel. In other words, he married a woman. She was a wife of whoredoms. They had kids and they named them for things that God was doing with Israel. And it was tough. But in Hosea chapter 2, the Lord is talking about how he's going to marry Israel. Beginning in verse 19. And he says, I will betroth thee unto me forever. Meaning I'm engaging myself to you and then I'm going to marry you forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness. The relationship ought to be right. In judgment. In loving kindness. In mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me. Look at it. In faithfulness. And thou shalt know the Lord. So people that get married ought to know the Lord. They ought to be saved. They ought to be merciful to each other, loving to each other. They ought to be right for each other, all that kind of stuff. But notice this thing in verse 20, and in faithfulness. Listen, you want to be a faithful spouse. You want to be a faithful spouse. You really do. Listen, if you're contemplating marriage, one of the best ways for you to prepare for marriage is for you to be faithful. That's right. You say, well, I'm not a very faithful person. Then don't contemplate marriage yet. Become faithful. True to your word so that you know when you say to your spouse, this is the way it's going to be. I will. Yes, sir, amen. That your spouse can really count on through thick and thin, I'll be here. Okay? If you are married already, and you've had trouble with faithfulness, make this the last day you ever have trouble with that again. It's required in stewards. It's required in friends. It's required in spouses. Be faithful. You say, well, that was my intention. We live in a world today where half of them fall apart. If you wait long enough until you know that you can fulfill that vow, you don't have to worry about it. Absolutely certain that you will do what you said you would do. And then, Proverbs 14, verse 5. One of the things I found that's really helped is the last few weddings that I've done, I don't remember how many I've done this way. I won't marry them unless they do marriage counseling. Premarital counseling. I don't want to do marriage counseling afterwards. I mean, we've done it, and sometimes you have to. I want to get ahead of the curve and get all that going ahead of time. I wish I had done this for every marriage that I'd ever done before. I wish we'd have sat down and gone through a series of lessons from the Bible on how to prepare for marriage. People spend a lot of time preparing for the wedding and no time preparing for the marriage. The wedding lasts a day and the marriage lasts for a lifetime. You need to put your time in on that. Boy, I'll tell you what, that has made a lot of difference. Why? Because people realize what's at stake in that and they really draw close together on God's things. Proverbs chapter 14, look at verse 5. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. I just want you to understand, we're not going to have a lot of more points after this. We're going to end with this one. And the reason I'm telling you that is that sometimes what happens in the middle of a message where you think it might be long, you say, you know what I need to do? I just need to take a break right here and kind of catch my breath. You know how much longer this is going. Not going to go much longer. About 5 more minutes and you're done. Isn't that good? Say, amen. He said here, a faithful witness will not lie. There's two things here. Two things here that we want to look at. Number one, we want to look at the first part of it, which says a faithful witness will not lie. Today, inside of this building, we have a lot of young people in here. And I always love to get here and realize that we have young people in here that are trying, that, listen, you're here because maybe your parents told you to be here. Maybe you're here because you want to be here. Either case, you're here. And I want to tell you something. Listen, if you lie at home, you will never be a faithful witness for the Lord. You know, you hear us talking about witnessing to the lost. You hear us talking about telling other people about Jesus Christ. You hear us celebrate when we're with somebody who trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. How wonderful that is. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't tell the truth, you can't be a faithful witness, because a faithful witness will not lie. You say, well, what do you call a lie? what are you calling a lie? You know what I'm calling a lie. It's where you say anything to cover the absolute truth. People say, well, yeah, but what about white lies? They're lies. That's why they're called lies. You have to learn from this age. I'm talking about your teenage years, before your preteen years. You have to learn when you are standing there before your mother, your father, your teacher, your pastor, some person in authority, and they ask you a question, you can look them in the eye and tell the truth. And if they ever go behind you to verify what you said, it will come out exactly the way you said. The greatest privilege in the ministry, bar none, is being there at a moment when somebody else receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. It's the greatest part of the ministry. I love all of the ministry, and I've had extreme hardships and painful things in the ministry. All of that together with the other good things, I love the ministry. I would rather do this than anything else in the entire world. Couldn't even think about doing anything else. I'll take the bad with the good. But I want to tell you, after many years of doing this, the highlight is being able to tell a lost soul about Jesus Christ and see them get saved. If you're a liar, you're not a faithful witness. And if you want to learn to be a faithful witness, clean up your act and start telling the truth. And the other thing that we want to look at in this little verse right here is he says, a faithful witness. You know what that is? That is, it's very simple. A faithful witness is simply a person that has the Holy Spirit in him or her, whom the Holy Spirit can count on to deliver the message that he wants spoken to the individual he has you to talk to. A faithful witness is not a person who can come away and say, I just led that person to the Lord. Because we don't lead people to the Lord. The Holy Spirit does that work. A faithful witness is the person who can speak, thus saith the Lord. This is what God wants you to know. You know, we've done this many times before. I'm going to tell you again. In the ministry of preaching the gospel, there's sowing, and there's watering, and there's harvesting. But you know, those soils are not all good. And when Brother Comer was here Wednesday night, he said back when they were kids, those six kids had to follow the wagon and pull the rocks out of the farm so they could plant again. It's also getting the stony ground out. It's also getting the weeds and thorns out, you know, and helping people to see weeds and thorns they have to get out so the soil is good ground. There's a lot to it. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what's going on in the heart of the person that He wants you to talk to, and He wants you to communicate a message to that person. A faithful witness is a person who will deliver that message. Whatever it is, So often these days, people who get saved have had this person tell them one thing and that person tell them another, and this person, look, these guys that go on the ships, you see it. You don't usually find somebody totally raw to the gospel who goes all the way to getting saved the first time they hear the gospel. There's been work done in their lives before. But God has to give you wisdom how far to take that conversation. To be a faithful witness. I tell you what. It is a great privilege to simply be a vessel that the Lord can use to pass along something that He wants to say to another person. And when you think of ways that you could serve God, because He's looking for faithfulness, you have heard of some ways you can be that way. Be a faithful steward. Be a faithful friend. Be a faithful spouse. Be a faithful witness. Listen, you can do that. If you're not married yet, well then be faithful so that when you are, you will be. Listen, everybody in this room can be a faithful friend. Everybody in this room can be a faithful steward and is required to be a faithful steward. Everybody in this room can be a faithful witness. Everybody. God's given something everybody can do. The question is, will you? Will you? Will you be faithful? That's the question. Will you? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're addressing a faithful God in this prayer who expects and wants His children to be faithful. Pray with me. Father, I ask You please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us all with our heads bowed before You today to be faithful as You are faithful. Build in us, Father, that character, that desire, that ability. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I didn't preach the gospel. I think when I ask if everybody in here, who's saved in here, it seemed to me every hand in the place went up. But I don't know that, and I don't want to presume it if it's not so. I didn't preach the gospel, but boy, we sure can. Right after this message is done, our associate pastor is standing in the back, and he is ready to preach the gospel. It wouldn't take him 5, maybe 10 minutes to show you from the Scripture how to be saved. Is there anybody here today, right now, simply raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I am not saved. I need to be saved." Anybody? I am not saved. I need to be saved. I want Jesus Christ. Okay. How about this? And I don't want to see any hands. It's just between you and the Lord. How about, "Lord, I'm not as faithful as I should be, and I want to be faithful." Of all the things God's looking for in His children, you can tell from the parable, that is the key. Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me to be faithful. We're going to sing an invitation hymn here in just a minute. I don't know how in this room you best get with God, whether in your seat, whether at home after the message is over, whether at this altar, but whatever way you and God do your best business together, if God's spoken to you today, do your business with God. You will never regret it, and neither will He. Father, bless this invitation. Have it Your way, for Jesus' sake. Amen.